Praise the Lord. I want to talk this morning about bragging about God. Yeah. Last song we sang, look what the Lord has done. What's God done in your life? We stop and take a look at that. Just remember back where you were when God reached out and got a hold of you. I don't know about you. I was a mess. Not that I have it all together now, don't get me wrong. But I was a mess. I was mean. I was vindictive. I've always had a tender heart. So the best way to hide a tender heart that you don't want to let people know you got a tender heart is to be brutal. And that's who I was. God changed me. He continues to change me. Praise God for that. In Jeremiah 4, verses 1 and 2, Jeremiah is talking to has a prophecy for Israel. Now I want you to remember that in the days of Jeremiah, the northern kingdom, Israel, had already been carried away by Sennacherib. They were already carried away, yet the word of the Lord went forth to Israel and says, if you will return to me, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. If you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. And you shall swear the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Now, what does that mean? That meant even to the people that had been carried away, even to the people whose lives were utterly, uprooted and just destroyed, if they would turn back to God and turn back to seek the face of the Lord, not only would they be blessed, but other people would see it and recognize the glory and grace, graciousness of God, the mercy of God that would work in their lives. They were to be a witness and an example to the people around them that the graciousness of God is without fail. And those people seeing it would turn to the Lord. Israel was set up. God chose Israel, this small nation, the least of the nations, Scripture says, to be basically a billboard of the graciousness of God. Well, here we are today. There are people who think there's replacement theology that says Israel doesn't count anymore and now it's the church. That's not true. However, we are also called to be a billboard to the world around us of how great and how gracious God is. Second song we did was Alan Jackson, I Love to Tell the Story. Do we love to tell people what God has done in our lives, or do we just like hide in the corner? Do we brag about what God has done? Do we talk to people whose lives are a mess? And as we reach out to them and try to encourage them, say, I understand that you're having a rough time and I understand that things are great, but let me tell you what God can do. And I know He can do it because He's done it in my life. I know He can deliver you from all of these wicked things because He's done it in my life. I know He can forgive you because He forgave me. I know you can walk into church without the roof falling in on you or lightning striking you because He did it in my life. No matter how wicked we are or how wicked we were or how wicked they think they are, the gracious love of God is such that Jesus paid the price for our sin. Do we love to tell the story? Do we love to encourage people? Do we love to reach out to people? We're called to do that. To be those signposts, just like Israel was called to be a signpost or a billboard of the graciousness and mercy of God, that other people would see it and recognize and draw close to the Lord. In Philippians 3, beginning with verse 3, Paul is talking to the Philippians. He's written to the Philippian church. And he's trying to explain some things to them. He says, for we of the circumcision, meaning those that were Jews, who worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, Paul more so. In other words, Paul is saying, look, people can brag about themselves, but if you want to go down that road here, I'll go down that road with you for a little bit before I turn it around. He says, I'm the more so. Circumcised on the eighth day, according to the law, of the stock of Israel, according to the law, of the tribe of Benjamin, he can trace his lineage back, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the religious rulers and the religious, you know, superiors of the day. They were the ones, this is what the law says and this is what we're going to keep. In fact, we're going to keep it so well, we're going to build other laws around it so we don't come even close to breaking what the law said. You know, put in that insulation, put in that barrier. Concerning zeal, I was persecuting the church. I was showing my zeal for God in everything that I did. Concerning righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. He says, according to the law, I was perfect. I did everything right. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. I was trying to be righteous in my own strength. I was trying to be righteous in my own ways, and I realized it's not enough. And if doing everything right is not enough, there has to be an answer, and the answer comes in Christ. The answer is in Jesus. Yet indeed I also count all things life lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any reason I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Paul said, I had everything going for me according to the eyes of the people around me, but I recognized it was not enough. And because of that, because I trusted in Jesus, I lay aside all of that other stuff because it was insufficient. The only thing that's sufficient is learning who Jesus is following after Jesus, is pursuing after Him. That's why I laid everything else down, bragging about God, that I have attained a righteousness that wasn't mine, but it was given to me by a great and wondrous God. A righteousness that allows me to come boldly before the throne of grace. A righteousness that allows me to enter into the Holy of Holies because of who He is and what He has done on my behalf. Paul says, I just threw all that stuff away. Because it wasn't enough. It wasn't sufficient. It would just keep me bound in that. He says in another place that those who are under the law are a slave to the law. You go reading through the laws and you go through the Ten Commandments and everything looks pretty good. You know, I can, you know, not kill anybody, not lie about anybody. Haven't murdered anybody yet, you know. Don't commit adultery, all of those things. And then Jesus comes along and says, if you hate your brother without a cause, you've committed murder in your heart. If you look at a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery in your heart. Well, wait a minute. So I not only have to control my actions, I have to control my thoughts, I have to control everything? Praise God, we have the grace of God. Praise God, Jesus Christ came and paid the price. We can brag about what God has done, what He's delivered us from, what He's delivered us through, what He's continuing to do in our lives. Because He is great and gracious in all of His ways. Because of Him. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. As the song says, because He lives, all fear is gone. There's a verse in Ezekiel. And Ezekiel has this vision of the flying roll. And I can't remember all of it is. But basically the lesson in it is that the liar and the thief have committed the same sin. But Paul says if you break the law, you've broken the whole law, because it's a whole entire package. You know, it's not like, well, I'm going to charge you on Civil Code 3, subsection A, paragraph B. No, you're guilty of the law without Jesus. No matter how good we are, you know, Kirk Cameron and the other guy that I can't think of who they are. I'll think of it later. But as they go and they talk about evangelizing, and you get people talking, it's like, you know, why would you think you're going to heaven? Well, because I'm a pretty good guy or a pretty good person. Okay. Let's think about that for a minute. The standard isn't pretty good. The standard is perfect, but let's go from there. You know, have you ever told a lie? Well, yes. Maybe once. Have you ever stole anything? Well, I grabbed a penny candy, you know, from a store way back when. You know, all of these things. We are not perfect in this world. But because of Jesus, we are. Because of Jesus, we are holy and righteous before God. We are redeemed. We are bought with a price. We can brag on what the Lord has done in my life and in your life. In Galatians 6, Paul talking to them, he says, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. He's talking about people who claim the grace of God, yet they wanted everybody else to walk the way they walk, to do the things they do, to follow the rules that they follow, so that nobody would look down on them. That's a legalistic church. That's where you have to dress a certain way or you're not welcome. You have to act a certain way or you're not welcome. Paul says that's wrong. Verse 13, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. He says it's not in keeping the law. It's not in doing what everybody else is doing. It's being a new creation because Christ entered into my heart. And Christ enters into your heart and makes us new, makes us whole, makes us holy, makes us righteous. Are we bragging about what God has done in my life? Are we bragging about what God has brought us through? Do we share with other people? Do we encourage other people? Back again in the Alan Jackson, where Alan Jackson was singing the song that I love to tell the story. He says one great thing about the story is people that already know it love to hear it too. Do we encourage one another with the great things God has done in our lives? We encourage our brothers and sisters by knowing that, you know, they're not isolated. They're not completely shut out, but God is working in people's lives and it shows His grace and it shows His graciousness. We can share what God has done with one another because it lifts us all up. The world on the outside sees some strange folk. At least when they see me, they see a strange person. I don't know about you, but they see a strange person because for one thing, I'm often cheerful. How can you be happy with all the things that are going on? Every day above ground is a good day. You know? God has done great things in my life. The fact that I am able to stand at all is a list of miracles that, you know, show the grace and love and mercy of God. In fact, if I can't stand at a given point, I know that, you know, with the Lord's touch and with the Lord's help, I'll be able to stand up in a minute. So I'll be okay. He continues to bring me through. I am not dead when I should have been. He had a plan and purpose for my life. He has a plan and purpose for your life. Our nephew Nicholas was in a head-on collision, completely messed up his body. We saw a picture of him the other day, standing with a thumb up. You know? God is at work. We go through things in a life that so many people haven't survived. Mentioned there was a helicopter crash on the causeway. Not a lot of people walk away from helicopter crashes. The pilot did. God is at work. And we can encourage one another with the great and wondrous things that God has done and continues to do. Back in Psalm 38, or excuse me, Psalm 34, beginning with verse 1, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do we live that? There's another verse that says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. Do we give praise to God for everything? The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. The fact that we are not dead, the fact that we are not destitute, the fact that we are not, you know, completely incapacitated is the tender mercies of God. Everything we have is a gift from God, including the air we breathe. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. And then he goes on, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together, encouraging one another to praise God. We praise the Lord because God's put it in our heart, but we should be encouraging other people to praise the Lord with us. Praise God. Praise God, I'm not the mean person I used to be. Praise God, my vocabulary is not what it used to be. Praise God. Praise God for that lovely young troublemaking little brunette on the back row.
That's me.
Praise God that he's continually been at work. And he's continued to be at work in my life. Let's praise the Lord. You know, Deb said if she'd known me before, she would not know me now. I believe that. I was messed up. But God has a plan and a purpose. And we can rejoice in God's plan and in His purpose. We should praise and brag on what God has done in our lives. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. We can pray and God hears us. Remember we talked about that verse last week. It's in Malachi. It says, those who meditate upon the name of the Lord, those who think upon His name in the King James. When we think upon His name, it's written in the book. God is paying attention. Verse 5, they looked to Him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. The poor cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and He delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. We can praise God because He is worthy of praise, but He has also shown Himself faithful in our lives. Praise God for what He's done. Praise God for what He continues to do. Praise God that His arm is not shortened that He cannot save, nor His ear heavy that He cannot hear. Praise God that He's paying attention to the things that go on in our lives, that He loves us and He is at work in our life. He directs our steps. He leads us and guides us. Can we brag about God? Can we brag about what great things He's done? Praise the Lord. Psalm 18, starting with verse 30, last passage says, as for God, His way is perfect. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord is proven. You ever think about that? You can look in God's word and know that God is faithful. Where He says, I will not leave you comfortless. Guess what? He's given us a comforter. When He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Guess what? We're never alone. When He says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Every morning, God's tender mercies are fresh and new in our lives. And we can brag on that and strength on that. Continuing on, still in verse 30. He is a shield to all those who trust in Him. Praise God, He is my protector and my defender. Who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war and so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarge my path under me so that my feet did not slip. The psalmist says, everything I have, everything I am is because of a gift of God, because of the grace of God. where he says, you teach my hands to make war. Kind of convenient for a warrior king, don't you think? To know how to do that. God is the one who made him able. God is the one who makes us able to do the tasks that are before us. God is the one who gives us strength. God is the one who gives us breath. God is the one who gives us the ability to make wealth. God is the one who gives us the ability to love one another, to obey His word, to follow His path. Everything we have is a gift from God. We don't always look at everything as a gift. We don't always look at everything as something to be desired. But if God allows something into your life, He's already said that He will cause all things to work together for good to them who love you, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We live in a lost and dying world. We live in a world that doesn't know hope. And as we brag on God, as we brag on what He's done and how He is faithful in all of His ways, as we encourage other people to come to know this God who continues to guide us, to continues to give us comfort. If we comfort one another with the comfort that God has given us, that is giving testimony and being a witness of the things that God has done in our life, being bragging on the things of God. It makes an impact. Just as the very first passage we read where the word of the Lord came through Jeremiah, telling the people of Israel to return to God and saying, if you will do that, then the other nations will see it and will glorify God. If we glorify God, other people will see it and get curious. Other people will see it. And there may be a hunger. Other people will see it and recognize the hope that they don't have. Do we glorify God each and every day? Do we glorify God when we're going through things? Are we, oh, woe is me? Or do we say, I don't understand why things are going on. It's not the way I would like them to be. But I praise God that He is still worthy of praise. Do we brag on the Lord? Come brag on the Lord with me. What great things has God done in your life? Where has He brought you from? What has He brought you through? I should have been dead a lot of times. It's funny, I'll be at the campground and I'll be talking to somebody like, oh, careful, I just got a little shock on that. Well, okay, I'll fix that circuit for you. But I'll have an opportunity to talk about being electrocuted. I was hit by 94,000 volts. Thrown across the room. Bounced off a wall. Think about that. I should not be here. I was hit by 4,600 volts standing in ankle-deep water. I should not be here. I was shot with an arrow in my eyebrow. I was bitten by a cottonmouth moccasin. I had a foot-long piece of wood stuck in my head. I landed flat on my back, diving from the supports from a 100-foot bridge, and landed flat on my back and was paralyzed and had to be pulled out of the water. I shouldn't be here. But God is merciful in all of His ways. My uncle and I, when I was very young, decided to encourage his father's bees to make honey faster. And we stuck a stick in the beehive and swirled it around to encourage them. They pulled 400 stingers out of my face. I should not be here. But God is merciful. God is loving. God has a plan and a purpose. And I can tell you, He loves you. And I can tell anybody that He is worth serving. He is worth praising. I'm willing to brag on God because of what He's done. He has done wondrous things in my life. He called me to preach when I was 12 years old. And I didn't do it. Well, I started. But I got on a detour. And for 16 years ran from God. But when I stopped running, He was right there, loving and merciful. So I can talk with people who've got a prodigal child that's walked away from God. I say, let me tell you the grace and love and mercy of God. He draws us back. Sometimes the path is kind of convoluted. Sometimes the path is painful. But He draws us back. Praise God. He loves me so much that He wanted me back and kept trying to get my attention. But I was stubborn. But He finally got my attention. He got my brother's attention. He got a lot of people's attention. Got your daughter's attention. God is at work. We can brag about who God is because He is faithful. He has shown Himself faithful in every aspect of my life and every aspect of your life. You can't tell me one situation where God has not been faithful. You can't. Nobody can. God is faithful. Doesn't mean there's not pain. It doesn't mean there's not turmoil. It doesn't mean there's not problems. It means that no matter what's going on, God is faithful. And I'm willing to brag about God because He is worthy of my praise and yours too. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You. We thank You, Father, for Your love and guidance. We thank You, Father, that You are faithful, that You are worthy of praise, that You have shown Yourself mighty in so many different ways in our life, that You are wondrous, Father, that the heavens and heavens of heavens cannot contain You. Yet You pay attention to the things going on in our lives. We talked about that verse a minute ago, where every time we think upon Your name, when we meditate on Your name, when we meditate on who You are, it's written down in the book. Father, we give praise. We thank You, Lord. We just give You all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.